Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, the Dodgers beat the Mets in what was being billed as a postseason preview, and instead it felt like, well, just another game. Dodgers win 4-3, and they didn't put a whole lot of effort into it. I mean, it was a baseball game. They tried to win the game. They didn't try their hardest. They didn't do it wasn't a postseason preview. We didn't see the starting lineup we're going to see. We didn't see the bullpen usage we're going to see. So, a lot to talk about at this game, and that's what we're going to do today. So, let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening right now, and then you will never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time watching or listening, my name is Jeff Snyder. My co-host is Vince Samperio. Vince and I are doing a split episode today, so I will be with you for the first half. Vince will be with you for the second half. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans, just like you are. We've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and the locker room. So we're not quite Dodger insiders, but we're bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. And if you had bet on this game, you definitely probably wouldn't have bet on this being the starting lineup the Dodgers put out. First game of a three-game series with the Mets. The Mets have the second-best record in baseball. They are the closest team chasing the Dodgers for that best record in baseball that, you know, really its best record in the National League is the most important thing, probably. Best record in baseball matters if they get to the World Series, but the chances are, you know, they're going to finish with a better record than the Yankees and everybody else in the American League. So Dodgers are likely to, if they do get to the World Series, they'll have home field advantage there. If they can finish ahead of the Mets, they will have secure home field advantage throughout the postseason. They're already assured, pretty much, not mathematically, but realistically assured of a first-round bye. So we came into this game. The Mets were 8 games behind the Dodgers, 9 back in the loss column, and now they are 9 games back and 10 back in the loss column because the Dodgers won 4-3. Justin Turner had the day off. Will Smith had the day off. Joey Gallo was the DH. It was very much a business as usual. Hey, we've got 5 weeks left in the season. We still need to figure out a few things about what we have for the postseason. Just like every other game the Dodgers have played in the last month or so, there was no urgency. And I cannot stress enough, I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean in a very, very good way. The Dodgers are aware of where they are. They are aware of what their ultimate goal is. The Dodgers, for them, it's not even a goal to finish with the best record in baseball. That's going to happen because they're the best team in baseball. They're going to go out there and they're going to keep trying to win. And they're aware that they have a good enough team that, you know what? Yeah. Even if Chris Taylor is striking out all the time, we can still keep putting him in the lineup once in a while, see if he can get it figured out. Yeah. Cody Bellinger has been lousy lately. We'll keep trying him. Joey Gallo, we'll trade for him, even though he's terrible, and see if we can fix him. Jury's still out on that one. So, you know, the Dodgers have enough talent. They can get away with that. And in this game, what we saw was, yeah, they just went out there and they played a good baseball game. And Andrew Heaney pitched pretty well, got through 5 innings again, 8 strikeouts this time, gave up 2 home runs. And that is an issue with Heaney. He only allowed 1 home run in his first 7 games this year. He's now allowed 6 in the last 3 games. And with a guy who has Heaney's home run history, that's concerning, at least. Something to keep an eye on. Luckily, his stuff is really, really good. And so when he's not giving up home runs, he's getting a lot of strikeouts. And he got through 5 innings, allowing 3 runs, just 2 earned. The third one scored on his own error on a dumb play in the first inning. He should let a bunt go foul. But even that, he got out of that. After his error, if you weren't watching, Starling Marte tried to bunt for a hit. He pushed a bunt down the first baseline. The ball was going foul. Heaney thought that Marte was running inside the lane, so he tried to get an out of the deal. So he picked up the ball and shoveled it basically just straight into Marte's back, hoping to get an interference call, in which case Marte would be out and Brandon Nimmo would have to go back to first base. What happened instead is The ball went down the first baseline. Nimmo scored all the way from first, and Marte ended up at third base with nobody out. It was not a good situation to be in. Two batters into the game for Heaney. But he got out of that inning, got two big strikeouts, and Austin Martin threw out Francisco Lindor trying to steal second. And he got through that and then just gave up two solo home runs the rest of the way. Good game for Heaney, and the Dodgers have a little more information now and some stuff to work on. I think Heaney does need to figure out his home run problem because that can come back to bite you in the postseason. Luckily, in this game, the offense was good enough to get the win. And specifically, I mean, Gavin Lux was good enough. Gavin Lux had two huge hits. There's been a lot of talk over the last few weeks. Joe Davis and Orel Hershiser have talked a lot about it on the broadcast about how good Gavin Lux is with two strikes this year. He's one of the top five or six hitters in baseball with two strikes. And now I have to sneeze. I hate this. Hold on. Excuse me, I'm back. Apologize for that. You know, nature calls sometimes. Anyway, they've been talking about how Gavin Lux is very good with two strikes. Another thing that doesn't get talked about as much that the Dodger Insider Twitter account pointed out at Dodger Insider is that Gavin Lux is very good on the first pitch. And he's now batting after he got a... So in the third or fourth inning, Dodgers had the bases loaded and Joey Gallo got hit by a pitch to drive in the tying run, tie the game at one. And then Gavin Lux stepped up very next pitch. He hit a line drive to left field to score two runs, put the Dodgers up 3-1. And he's now batting 364 on the first pitch this year. Very, very good. And that aggressiveness, it was huge for him to get that big hit, driving the two runs. The Mets eventually tied it on the two solo home runs. Heaney and Mets starter Taijuan Walker both left the game with a no decision. Heaney after five innings and Walker with one out in the sixth inning. Ultimately, in the seventh inning, Gavin Lux stepped up again, this time with two outs and runners on first and third, and a full count. And he, a tough left-handed pitcher, Gavin Lux drove a line drive up the middle to drive in the go-ahead run and what ended up being the winning run, the final run of the game. And it's pretty impressive that, you know, in addition to the first pitch hit, he also got a two-strike hit. Everything that he's done well this year, hitting off lefties. He's batting over 290 this year against lefties, which is a departure from what he's done in his first couple of years in the big leagues. It tracks pretty well with what he did in the minor leagues, what we knew we could expect from him. Gavin Lux, Dave Roberts was effusive in his praise after the game of Gavin Lux. Just said he's shown him more than anybody this year. Call him Freddie Freeman light, just his approach and everything. Man, I can't say enough about how Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts have kind of had an impact on this team. Trey Turner also to an extent, because, you know, Turner and Freeman have had a big impact on Mookie, and Mookie's had a big impact on a lot of people. You have these guys who are really buying into this approach. And back in June, the Dodgers got swept by the Giants in San Francisco. And during that series, Dave Roberts called out the offense publicly, the whole team, saying that they need to get back to doing the things that help you win a game today. And since then, the Dodgers are now 53-15. You know, message delivered, mission accomplished, whatever you want to say. But Justin Turner has also mentioned it was around that time that they, as a team, started talking about let's do less iPad stuff in the dugout and more talking to each other. And we've seen that, you know, and when you have the veteran hitters that the Dodgers have, you know what? I don't care about an iPad. Hey, Freddie Freeman, what did you see when you were up there? You hitting Savant. What did you see? Mookie Betts, what did you see? They're doing a lot of that. And I think it's, you know, it's improving the team camaraderie. And I think it's providing great results just from a practical standpoint, which is awesome. So, you know, so much good going on with the Dodgers right now. There's still plenty to figure out in the last 5 weeks of the season as far as who's going to be in the postseason roster. And I'm actually going to talk about that in a minute, about a couple guys who aren't going to be on the postseason roster, aren't even going to be on the regular season roster in another week or two, and the big nights that they had and pretty meaningful for them. So thank you for making Locked On Dodger your first listen every day, and I will be right back, so keep it locked on Dodgers. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. Find all the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts, including this year's opening week's games. BetOnline is also your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live e-betting, esports, live betting, esports, and scores. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. Bet online, where the game starts. Okay, I am back. And I want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. It means a lot to Vince and me. Vince will be here later. He'll have his thoughts on the game too. I want to talk about a couple roster moves that the Dodgers made before the game. It's kind of interesting. They optioned Phil Bickford and Michael Grove to the minors. Grove was a foregone conclusion that he would make one spot start and then go back down, especially after how the bullpen has been used and they would need an extra reliever. And the extra reliever, they sent Bickford down too and got two fresh relievers, Jake Reed and Heath Hembree. Hembree, they had to select his contract, which means adding him to the 40-man roster to make room for him on the 40-man roster. They DFA'd Eddie Alvarez, which was also another thing that we knew was coming. And I just want to talk a little bit about the roster crunch that is still coming because it's relevant to what's going to happen. I had written about this at Dodgers Nation recently about the roster crunch that's coming. The Dodgers have four pitchers who are currently on rehab assignments, and all four of them are currently on the 60-day injured list, which means they're not taking up a 40-man roster spot. Blake Treinen, Victor Gonzalez, Tommy Kahnle, and Danny Duffy. So all four of those guys are going to need room made for them on the 40-man roster in order for them to return. And when I wrote this article, I said the only obvious candidates to be DFA'd to make room on the 40-man roster are Eddie Alvarez and Jake Reed. Alvarez has now been DFA'd. He's been replaced by Heath Hembree. So now the only two obvious choices to be DFA'd are Jake Reed and Heath Hembree. There's nobody else really. Everybody else who's on the 40-man roster is there because they are a prospect the Dodgers care about or they are a legitimate major leaguer. I guess they could DFA Phil Bickford if they, but it seems like, you know, with his age, his, you know, number of options, his stuff, I think they'd rather have him stick around and get fixed. And so what you have is basically you've got four guys rehabbing. There's not going to be room for all four of them. Treinen for sure is going to come back on Friday, which means either Hembree or Reed gets DFA'd on Friday to make room for Blake Treinen. And then if any of the other three, Victor Gonzalez, Tommy Kahnle, or Danny Duffy, get ready to come back, then the other one of either Reed or Hembree, whoever's still left, gets DFA'd at that point to make room on the 40-man roster. Obviously, one thing that could change this is if there was a serious injury that puts somebody on the 60-day IL that can drop them off the 40-man roster. I don't see any of those possibilities coming up. Nothing's likely there. And so chances are Jake Reed and Heath Hembree are not long for the Dodgers active roster or 40-man roster. I think they're both going to be DFA'd soon. And that's why I mentioned at the top of the show, having a game where Heath Hembree gets the win and Jake Reed gets the save, not really a postseason preview. It's not even a mid-September preview. These guys are not going to be on the roster for very long. It did mean a ton to Jake Reed, though, to be on the roster and to get this win. He talked with Kirsten after the game. He was very emotional after the save, let out a big yell. And then he got actually choked up a little bit talking to Kirsten. You know, Jake Reed has been through a ton in his career. He was a 40th round draft pick. He was in the minors for a decade, you know, and now he's in the big leagues. And, you know, he got emotional talking to Kirsten. And after that, in the locker room, Fabian Ardaya from The Athletic asked him about getting choked up, about what it was about the moment that caused him to get choked up. And he said, I think all of it, it's just crazy. I was here with the Dodgers last year, got DFA'd, go to the Mets. At some point, I faced the Dodgers here at Citi Field, then got DFA'd by the Mets and got back to the Dodgers, and now I'm here playing the Mets at Citi Field. I think that played a part in it. I always say getting the last out of a game, no matter the score, that's one of the best feelings in the world. Also, to do it here in front of all these fans in this atmosphere here, it was just a very emotional moment. Then I think high-fiving guys, you just kind of start to run your career through your mind a little bit. It's just crazy that I'm here and have a job with this team. At times, it just blows my mind. So I think it was just a lot of things that came out in a couple screams and some tears. How can you not root for Jake Reed? You know, and it makes me sad that, sorry, Jake, you're not going to be on the team for much longer. And, you know, there is a chance for one of them, either Reed or Hembree, because, you know, we mentioned Blake Treinen is coming back for sure. Victor Gonzalez, Tommy Kahnle, and Danny Duffy, none of those guys are sure things. Gonzalez and Duffy haven't thrown a pitch in over a year in the big leagues. Tommy Kahnle has thrown 5 innings in the last 3 years. And so, you know, it wouldn't be crazy to think the Dodgers would rather keep Jake Reed than one of those guys. But then you also have Clayton Kershaw and Yency Almonte and Tony Gonsolin coming back soon. So, yeah, there's just not going to be room for those guys. And it's a bummer. It's kind of a bummer to see that Heath Hembree and Jake Reed, who played a big part in this win over the Mets, aren't going to be around for long. That's the nature of the game, unfortunately. And hopefully they both earn their World Series rings today. So when the Dodgers win the World Series in early November, hopefully Jake Reed and Heath Hembree both have earned getting a ring to celebrate with the team. And rings last forever, as you've heard. They could probably even go to the parade if they want to. It's the hard part of baseball, this roster stuff. But the Dodgers, they say it's a good problem to have. It's still a problem, and it's a problem the Dodgers are going to be facing soon. But what we saw here was a game where Dave Roberts only had four available relievers, and he went with all four of those guys because Andrew Heaney only got through five innings, and Jake Reed got the save because Reed was the one who Roberts was comfortable with having him throw more than one inning, so he went last, and Kaysen went to extra innings. That was the math on this. There was no, okay, this is setting up for the postseason. Oh, we have to make a statement. None of that. It was, I've got four relievers. Two of them have been on the roster for, 3 hours. I'm going to use those guys, and then we're going to win the game. Huge win for the Dodgers, even though it was a meaningless game. It was a lot of fun. Today's game gets tougher. They face Jacob deGrom. Tyler Anderson goes for the Dodgers. Should be a good game. Vince is going to have more to say about this game, more about the Dodgers. I don't know exactly what he's going to say because I can't read his mind. But luckily, you won't have to read his mind because Vince will be along in.
Yo, Vince here to close out the episode. And just here to talk about the series with the Mets and kind of the matchup, the potential matchup with the Mets and, how to kind of look at things. I touched on it before, and we'll get into, DeGrom, Scherzer, Dodgers pitching, everything else in case it came down to a series in October. But just about, last night's game, Dodgers, it was a very house money game, like Jeff mentioned. Lineup wasn't quite there. They used two relievers that they just called up, one that they just selected his contract, Heath Hembree, Jake Reed. The Dodgers were playing with house money, and that's why, the emphasis on some of these regular season series doesn't matter as much. Let's just say the Dodgers have lost this game. Tomorrow, Jacob deGrom versus Tyler Anderson. Let's say the Dodgers lose that one. Or tonight, let's just say the Dodgers lose that one. And you look at it like, oh, man, Dodgers are going to potentially lose a season series or already lost a season series to the Mets. That's why it doesn't matter too much because you're not playing full strength. At full strength, or you're not playing, maybe nobody's ever full strength, but you're not playing, my top lineup, my top team versus your top lineup, your top team. You're just playing within the season, how it goes, with the Dodgers, bench these guys in the postseason. No, with the Dodgers have Heath Hembree and Jake Reed in the postseason. I hope not. That means there's a few injuries that happen. No knock on them, but they aren't one of the probably top, they're not one of the 10 best Dodger relievers on this roster when healthy. So, it goes to a matter of that. Last night's game was still fun. It's obviously fun to beat the team that's right behind you or close enough to you in terms of standings in the National League. Whoever one thinks is going to be, your competition for the National League pennant. And they had Timmy Trumpet in the building. They wanted Edwin Diaz to come out to his song, and it didn't happen. And, playing spoiler for that is obviously fun. But it just goes to show that it's a regular season game. You can't draw too much from it. And we've seen plenty of times, not just with the Dodgers, but with a lot of people, that you lose this regular season series to a team and then you end up beating them in the postseason. We saw last year with the Giants. They won the regular season series by one game, 10-9. The Dodgers won the NLDS by one game, 3-2. So while the games can be fun and exciting and, maybe social media gets a little bit popping and excited, doesn't necessarily matter for October. But what does happen for October is just getting some looks at dirt at certain things. For Dodgers pitching, it's, you know, seeing how they can attack some of these Mets hitters. And then for Dodgers hitters, it's seeing how they get attacked by a certain, or seeing how someone looks. Now, as we just saw recently, it's not, you know, the Dodgers could put up 10 runs against DeGrom tonight, and it wouldn't mean much also, because they put up whatever it was against Sandy Alcantara from the Marlins and one day, and then they faced him 5 days later, and he ended up shutting them down completely. So it doesn't matter, but you would like to see the Dodgers against DeGrom. Like tonight, that you would like to see some of that bats, the approaches, and see, you know, what they can get out of it, what they can see. Obviously, a lot of these guys have seen DeGrom before, but they haven't seen him this season. And it's just a matter of if you can pick up one thing, or, you know, hey, this, he does this, or one tendency, one thing, or even just a matter of seeing it out of his hand, or seeing his, you know, the way he throws, or the way he pitches, or trying to pick up something from his delivery. That's going to be somewhat beneficial. Dodgers won't get to see Scherzer. They do get to see DeGrom. So, you know, that's good there. And then it just kind of pushes me to my next point of why it doesn't really matter for this regular season, but also why it can matter a little bit. But when it comes down to it, or you know, more so, not why it doesn't matter, but like, why people can get hung up on one thing, and that one thing being, oh, you know, Scherzer and DeGrom are better than the Dodgers' top two, and that could be a reason why they would win in October. And, you know, whether, because you look at the matchup, okay, tonight, Jacob DeGrom and I believe Tyler Anderson. And you're like, oh, man, obviously that's in favor of the Dodgers. I mean, it's in favor of the Mets. They got one of the best pitchers, if not the best pitcher in baseball going. But the matchup isn't Tyler Anderson versus Jacob DeGrom. The matchup is Jacob DeGrom versus the Dodger offense and Tyler Anderson versus the Mets offense. Now, realistically, just based on how DeGrom has thrown in the past and historically, yeah, you would expect him not to allow too many runs. But you also, based on this season, you don't expect Tyler Anderson to give up too many runs. So what in reality could be a huge mismatch doesn't necessarily matter, because, you know, the Dodgers offense as a whole is better than the Mets offense as a whole. So you can look at it like, is the Dodgers offense as a whole, is the disparity between the Dodgers offense and the Mets offense similar, greater, lesser than the disparity between Jacob DeGrom and Tyler Anderson? And even then, it doesn't matter too much, because like I said, the game's going to get played on the field. But I'm just saying, like, you know, when you think of these matchups, or when you think of, oh man, DeGrom, oh man, Scherzer, you also got to think like, hey, the Mets have to score. And as we saw last night, the Mets got three runs, they got two home runs, and then a gift error by Andrew Heaney. The Mets didn't score on Heath Hembree. They didn't score on Jake Reed. They didn't score on anyone else the Dodgers threw at them after Heaney came out. And, you know, those guys aren't going to be on the postseason roster, but it's still a fat matter of the fact of the Mets' offense, which isn't as good as the Dodgers' offense. So, you know, I can see why people get, you know, amped up, excited, blah, blah, blah. Yes, DeGrom and Scherzer are good. And yes, good starting pitching can help lead you in October. We saw it with the Nationals in 2019. You know, the Dodgers lost to that Nationals team. But, you know, the Nationals offense was also pretty decent as well. They were playing well. And, you know, I'm not saying, oh my God, the Dodgers offense is better, so much better than the Mets offense, that it's going to, you know, make Scherzer or DeGrom a moot point. No, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, when you think of pitcher matchups, they aren't facing each other. You know, DeGrom is not facing Tyler Anderson. DeGrom's facing the Dodgers offense, and Tyler Anderson facing the Mets offense. And if Tyler Anderson has a better night against the Mets offense than Jacob deGrom has against the Dodgers offense, then the Dodgers are going to be in a better position to win that game just based on that. So, you know, when we're thinking of some of these matchups, or when you're thinking of, you know, potential future matchups, that's really what you got to think about and why, you know, starting pitching still matters. Yes, yes, yes. I 100% agree. But it's also a matter of, you know, your offense and how you do things. And I do think this year, I've seen people be concerned with the Dodgers pitching and starting pitching and everything else. And I think it's mostly because, as from what we've seen as Dodger fans for the most part over the last 10 years, is when it comes down to it, the offense doesn't usually put up too much runs in the postseason. No matter how good the Dodger offense has been before, for, you know, whatever reason, the offense kind of shuts down. And then we see the over-reliance on starting pitching of the pitching staff. And then, you know, the pitching staff's dealing with such a small margin for error that everything they do, it's easy to blame them. You know, Clayton Kershaw, for example, earlier in his career, he was asked to do everything, pitch on short rest, go, you know, seven innings and not allow more than two runs and everything else. Because if the offense had just put up, and obviously there's going to be a caveat, the offense did put up seven runs at one time in 2014. And then it ended up all being lost in the seventh inning. But regardless, if the Dodgers offense puts up some runs, it helps out people in those different areas and situations. So I think this year it's more on the offense. And I do think with Mookie and Trey and Freddie, your offensive margin for error is a little bit different. If Mookie is good, Trey struggles, Freddie's Freddie, you're in a good spot. If they all play well, you're in a great spot. If they all struggle, okay, and then it passes down to the next group, Muncy and Turner and Will Smith and whoever else is starting out there, depending on matchups. So I think they're better equipped offensively this year to where the starting pitching and doesn't matter as much. I do think their bullpen is one of the better ones they've had over this last 10 years. Even if the pitching, you know, it depends. The number-wise, this pitching staff, this starting rotation is one of the better ones they've had. But in terms of, you know, quality of stuff and just perception of the pitching, it's a little bit different. You know, Tony Gonsolin, yes, he's a Cy Young candidate. Yeah, he's 16-1. Yeah, he leads the league in ERA. But are you trusting Tony Gonsolin tomorrow to shut down an offense in October? I don't know. I want to say yes, but it's not a matter of I have utmost extreme confidence, but I would have more confidence in the offense putting up a few runs, helping Gonsolin out, and, you know, making Gonsolin a little bit more comfortable and his margin for error a little bit bigger. You know, Julio, you know, trust Kershaw, trust to a certain extent. Julio and Kershaw, you know, they're both good. We've seen them be good in the postseason. We've seen them make, you know, have complications in the postseason. But at the end of the day, I trust them against a lot of these offenses that they're going to face. And I trust the Dodgers offense against a lot of these pitchers that the Dodgers are going to face. So just want to keep that perspective out there when you're thinking about some of this stuff. And you know, again, all this doesn't matter. It matters what happens when the game actually gets played. But it's just a matter of, you know, thinking about it in a different way. Pitchers are facing the offense, so they aren't facing each other. So you could have the biggest mismatch in starting pitching. And some people might think Jacob deGrom, Tyler Anderson is a big mismatch in starting pitching, even with Tyler Anderson's strong season this year. But Tyler Anderson gets to face the Mets offense, which isn't as good as the Dodgers offense that deGrom has to face. So that's just the way it is. And then real quick, I know Kershaw coming back Thursday against the Mets. That'll be exciting. That'll be fun to see. Kershaw always hits day game starts. Or not day. Well, this one's not a day game. 4 o'clock Eastern. 4 o'clock Eastern. But Kershaw always seems to get the getaway games or the day games, which I don't know if he likes or not, but just an observation I had. But that's going to do it for today. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for making Lockdown Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. Check out our Ultimate Pro Football Preview because it's an 8-episode extravaganza to get you ready for the NFL season. The local team experts of all the Locked On Podcast Network, plus the betting angle from Lee Sterling of Locked On Bets, all combining into one ultimate NFL preview. Search for Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022 on your Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get podcasts. That's also where you can find us on YouTube or wherever you get podcasts, simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers, which is also how you can find us on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. DM dropping on all those accounts if you need to get a hold of us. You can also get a hold of us via email, lockdowndodgers@gmail.com, or via voicemail text at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car, or if you're sitting on your couch, text my device, play podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.